Good morning and welcome to another edition of Pandora's Box here on KSJD on the Zine. This morning we're going to be talking about hydraulic fracturing, or fracking as it's commonly known. And we're going to have two segments. The first segment will be an interview that I did live at the Telluride Film Festival just a few months ago with the protagonist of the film Dear Governor Hickenlooper. His name is Shane Davis. He's otherwise known as the Fractivist. And this interview was directly done right after the world premiere of the movie Dear Governor Hickenlooper.
So what I do as Fractivist is I work with other countries and activist organizations in Ireland, the UK, Australia, South Africa, all over the world, to find out what social movements are actually doing successfully in regards to oil and gas development. And so we're finding that the cultural solidarities in other countries other than America are huge. There are 7,000 people that show up to protest a single well. The real call to action for Americans is to emulate European solidarity. America is so young and so new that we're still struggling in our infancy to try to find out, do we like our neighbor or not? We have to put all that down and say, our neighbors are us. We are here to help them. They're here to help us come together to resist this heavy industry, this invasion called oil and gas, in that solidarity, like the UK, like Australia, and take on this industry and put our lives on the line to protect tomorrow's future, the children, to remove these poisons from our air that the oil and gas industry is allowed to release in our backyards, to contaminate our water. And let's talk about the wildlife. Colorado's a beautiful place. You know, Colorado adopted me. What can we do? So I think that all of us across Colorado and across America need to emulate the climate crisis and come out in millions of numbers in our own tipping point, where once we have enough activists or environmental advocates out on the streets, in public offices, trying to shut those down, to tell them that they are wrong, just because it's law doesn't mean it's right. Once we can get a million people or more, we can make meaningful change like we've done in the past with civil rights, the suffrage. All of these things are possible, but they're only possible when we, the people, come together in a humanitarian effort to overcome and dismantle the system of oppression.
And if you're just tuning in, this is Pandora's Box. I'm Lynn Patrick. I'm here live at Mountain Film in Telluride with Shane Davis, who was just featured in the film Dear Governor Hickenlooper, which is a film about fracking in the state of Colorado. So you've said a lot of really important things. I'm wondering if you have any last words about, you know, that you think the impact of this film might be, and how it affects your work or assists your work.
I think the film Dear Governor Hickenlooper obviously is a collage of many different stories from many different filmmakers and just normal people living their daily lives on their farms and in their own backyards. I think that it should hold Governor Hickenlooper accountable for allowing the poisoning of the people of Colorado. I think Dear Governor Hickenlooper is just getting started. There may be two or three more films after that. You know, if the governor's not going to hear our voice, we're going to deliver it right to his steps.
And my understanding is that the film will be delivered to Governor Hickenlooper somewhat personally in October?
Yes, it will definitely be delivered to Governor Hickenlooper, and I'm quite certain he will watch it. He's been denying me an interview. In fact, he turned down an interview for this film. This film is about him. This is a film about what he's allowing to happen, and he should be held accountable or removed from office.
And thank you. And just as a point of information, how can people see Dear Governor Hickenlooper if they didn't have the great opportunity to come here to Telluride Mountain Film?
Yeah, you can go to deargovernorhickenlooper.com, and apparently it's going to be screened in all of the major cinema theaters in Colorado. And it will actually grow legs, and we will do smaller venues, and we will have Q&A. So it's going to be all over Colorado. Just go to the website, deargovernorhickenlooper.com, look at the schedule of events. I'll post it on my website, fractivist.org. So we're just putting it all into place right now, but look for it in the future.
And if someone's interested in bringing the film to their community, is there something that they could do?
Absolutely. That's something that we're looking forward to. We want to show this film in as many communities as we can across Colorado, get those people's stories, because I mean, that's what the film is about. It's those voices that are unheard, those people that are living their lives without support, without reason, and knowing why they're having bloody noses or why their children are getting sick. So if you can contact us through DearGovernorHickenlooper.com and you want to show this film, we will definitely find a date that works for both of us, and we'd be happy to show it.
And just for our listeners, those of you who are driving and know that you can't drive and take notes at the same time, we'll have all this information on our resource page. Just go to the Pandora's Box page, which is under the audio link on KSJD.org. This has been another segment of Pandora's Box, and I'm Lynn Patrick. Well, that was an interview that that I did in May at Mountain Film in Telluride. And we're going to go to a commercial break now, but when we come back, we're going to fast forward to today, August the 12th, and talk about what's transpired in the last couple of weeks in the area of fracking in Colorado. Welcome back to the second half of Pandora's Box here on KSJD. So to continue with our segment on fracking, last week, Governor John Hickenlooper on Monday created a task force to address oil and gas development in Colorado in an 11th-hour attempt to foster compromise over the highly divisive topic before it hits the polls in November. For comment, we have with us today Bruce Basil, the Energy Program Director for Earthworks Oil and Gas Accountability Project. Welcome, Bruce.
Hi, good morning.
So can you give us a little bit of backstory on this? I know that there were two, or actually four, initiatives that were planning to be on the ballot in November, both pro and con regulation of fracking.
Yeah, well, there actually were about 10 initiatives that were potentially filed, and then they narrowed it down to these four. One was on increasing the setbacks that would be required for an oil or gas well from an occupied house or structure. And the other was one that would have added an environmental bill of rights, if you will, to the Colorado Constitution. And it would have allowed local governments to put in stronger regulations for public health and safety than the state had if a community wanted to do that. And on the other side, the industry had two initiatives, one that would have kept a community that banned fracking from getting oil and gas tax revenue from the state, and the second one that would have required any oil and gas local regulation to do a fiscal impact analysis, and that was put in by the home builders to try to show how much money would be lost if somehow fracking is banned. So those were the four that were in play for this fall up until yesterday.
So we will be, this is, you know, a week post all this
right.
action. So
right.
There was also a request, I guess, by Governor Hickenlooper to have the COGCC legal action against Longmont dropped. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes. The state of Colorado had sued Longmont over two times, actually. One was on a regulation of oil and gas city put in place, almost 2 years ago. And then the second was when the voters of the city of Longmont passed a ban on fracking in a vote about a year ago. And the state sued Longmont in both those instances. And what the governor said was that he would tell the state attorneys to withdraw from the lawsuit over Longmont's oil and gas regulation and didn't have any effect on the state suing Longmont over the citizen-voted ban.
So this is all seemingly, to those of us who are on the outside, kind of a surprise. Was this a surprise to you?
this whole agreement came out of the blue. I think industry was surprised. I know certainly the activists and folks that were gathering signatures for the petitions on the initiatives were surprised. As far as I can tell, it was strictly an agreement between Representative Polis and the governor, and nobody else knew it was coming. So
the other part of this was that Governor Hickenlooper has announced a Blue Ribbon Commission of 18 people. Can you talk a little bit about who's going to be on that commission and how gas and oil and environmentalists will actually be able to sit at the same table and talk with each other?
Well, at the time we're talking, we don't know who will be on that commission yet. All the governor has said is that it would be 18 people, and we know who the co-chairs are. One will be Gwen Lackelt, who's currently La Plata County Commissioner and has had long experience dealing with impacts from oil and gas down here in the southwest part of the state. And then the other co-chair is from the oil and gas company XTO, which is owned by ExxonMobil. Those, at the time we're talking, those are the only two we know for sure will be on the commission. But we know generally that there'll be six representatives of either local government or citizens. There'll be six representatives of industry. And there'll be six, I think the phrase was, respected persons or something like that. And I'm guessing that those are the ones that the governor will get to appoint to the commission.
So help us, those of us who are not in politics, understand this. So in exchange for taking these initiatives off the ballot, Hickenlooper is creating a panel where gas and oil will sit at a table with, you know, obviously La Plata County Commissioner Gwen Lackelt, who's long been an advocate for landowners, and some unknown persons. And what will that panel actually do you think?
Well, what we know is that the governor has said their mandate will be to come up with recommendations for the legislature to consider in the 2015 legislative session, so starting in January of 2015. And he's given some indication that the commission should look at this balance between what local government can regulate and what the state agencies can regulate, because that's been the crux of the political debate. I think a number of activists and local citizens feel that the state agencies are too subservient to industry when it comes to allowing wells close to houses or schools and not really looking at the health impacts or the impacts to the environment. So that's the debate that the ballot initiatives were trying to address in some way. And so I think now the governor said, well, commission, you come up with recommendations for the legislature to consider in the next legislative session, and maybe there'll be some bills that will come out of that that might address this.
Well,
Go ahead. Well, I think there's some, you know, Blue Ribbon task forces or commissions often are brought in when there's a very contentious political issue. Sometimes they work and sometimes they don't get us anywhere. So I think there's a bit of skepticism. A lot depends on whether you have members of the commission who are both knowledgeable but are pretty savvy about figuring out what's important and what maybe they can let go of. So a lot depends on who's on that commission as to whether it'll have a chance of success or not.
Representative Polis has been quoted in the media as of late saying citizens will be on equal footing with the oil and gas industry. And I'm wondering if you could comment on that. It seems like that's an inherent inequality given the political and economic realities of our world today, especially in the area of fracking. How does a representative Polis believe that there actually will be equal footing on this commission?
Well, I'm not a mind reader, so I can't speak to Representative Polis and what he was thinking of there. But I think your question is a good one, because, you know, a commission like this, to be effective, is going to have to meet pretty often. You're going to have citizens who are knowledgeable and able to be articulate in the face of industry representatives who, to be honest, have been pretty resistant to any kind of change. And while business as usual goes on, there's really no incentive for the industry representatives to give ground in any way. So it is a very difficult situation to expect progress to come out of. And I guess I'm not saying it's impossible. I think it'll be difficult. And those respected citizens, the six swing votes, in a sense, will be crucial to how well or how effective the commission is, because if they just go along with industry, then the commission won't get us anywhere, and we'll be right back looking at ballot initiatives again.
Well, Bruce Basil, Energy Program Director for Earthworks Oil and Gas Accountability Project, thank you very much for taking time out of what I'm sure is a very busy schedule right now for commenting on the recent events in the state of Colorado regarding fracking. So that is our segment for today. This has been Pandora's Box here on the Zine. I'm Lynn Patrick with my co-producer, Tom Yoder.